Today I will believe and confess that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we come before you now, thanking you once again for allowing us to be here, Heavenly Father, to be in the place where we come to fellowship and uplift your name. Father, we thank you for all of the things that you have done to keep us, Heavenly Father, to keep us connected to you and for drawing us to you, Heavenly Father. We did not come to you just out of our own, Lord. There was a process that you placed so that we could come to love you. Father, we pray that each time that we commune, Heavenly Father, we love you more and more, that we do not ever take you for granted, that we reverence you, Heavenly Father, as maker of the universe, God, as creator of all things, Lord. We thank you again for your word. We know, Heavenly Father, that it will do what it is called to do, Heavenly Father, that in each of us, the body of Christ, this body and others will be strengthened as a result of what we do here today. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, can you imagine a person who is rich, has more than he needs in abundance, but acts and feels as though he doesn't have anything? He doesn't take care of himself. He doesn't, he doesn't dress well, dresses like a hermit, doesn't take care of his hygiene, always complaining about his car being broken down, doesn't feed himself properly. He's always complaining that he needs help, but he's rich, got millions in the bank. He's always bellyaching about, you know, what he lacks. Kind of seems odd, huh? I probably wouldn't do that same thing if I had that kind of money, but it would be pretty odd if you came across someone that was. But many Christians, many believers, are like this person that I'm speaking of. You know, God has provided everything that we need, but we fail to cash in sometimes. You know, we talk about the things we don't have, or sometimes we may bellyache about what we may call first world problems, you know, things that in other places that our complaining folk would just kind of look at us and say, look, we're just trying to get something to eat. But many times as Christians, for some reason, God, again, has put everything out there for us, but for some reason, we just decide that we're not going to lay claim to it. Now, I don't know if us doing this is as a result of ignorance or if it's just a failure to take what is ours, you know, things that God has given us, but through the Holy Spirit, God lives in us through the Holy Spirit, so he has given us that. God expresses himself in three parts. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to do this here real quick because I always struggle with this God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to make a kind of feeble attempt to kind of express that, okay? So what I brought up here, don't worry, it's not going to mess anything up if I drop it. It's just some ice, okay? Got a few ice cubes here. I get a little bit closer. I doubt it if he can get this, but this is some ice cubes. I'm not going to hold this too long because it is cold. But God the Father is one. He expresses himself in three ways, no different than these ice cubes here, a block of ice. I was going to bring a bigger piece, but I had a hard time holding it. But obviously, ice, it's still water, it's still H2O, but it's solid right now, so it doesn't pour, right? Eventually, as it's doing right now in my hand, it's melting, so it's turning back in the water. And if I really blow on it with some hot breath, you would see a vapor kind of coming up. So you could see this kind of expressing itself in three ways. Now, that was kind of a feeble attempt. You couldn't see the vapor and everything, but But it's true, you know, it's still H2O. It's a solid that was in my hand. There's water on my hand right now, and if you left it long enough and put a little heat to it, you would see vapors coming up. So there's God the Father. The Son is not the Father, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father, but this is God expressing himself in three ways. Now, there are certain things about God that we're just never, ever going to fully be able to do an A, B, C, or 1 + 1 = 2. You know, there's some certain things that are mysterious to us that, you know, science is not going to be able to figure it out, but we believe it by faith, right? So the Holy Spirit, again, resides in us. Again, I said he's not the Father, nor is he the Son, but he's the person of the Holy Spirit. And so that kind of takes me to the title of our message. Today's message is entitled, The Works of the One Who Helps Us. That's the Holy Spirit. That's who God put here. So put here and put inside of us, because through the Holy Spirit, that is one of the ways that God helps us, and we're going to see that. So before Jesus was crucified on the cross at Golgotha or Calvary and left this earth, he told his disciples he would send them a helper, that he would be with them throughout their lives, not just for a short time, but that he would have to leave here. He would die on the cross. He would perform the works that he did, you know, laid in the grave for 3 days. He rose. He was seen for 40 days here. He dealt with his disciples, seen by over 500 people, but he had to depart. And he had to depart because the Holy Spirit, he had to send the Holy Spirit so that each of us, that same Holy Spirit that was here at the beginning of the world, that same Holy Spirit that he sent to the disciples, that same Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, it's that Spirit that God communicates with us and deals with us in different ways. Now, I'm going to dispel a falsehood or a falsity, if you want to call it, or maybe I'm not saying the right word, but some falseness about the Holy Spirit. Now, when I was a kid in church, in churches, different churches I went to, so not just my church, but churches that I visited, you know, relatives or whatever, you would have thought that the Holy Spirit was kind of like Batman. You know, there was a lot of bam, pow. That's how people referred to the Holy Spirit. So when I was growing up, I remember going to these churches, and at 5 or 6 years old, I'm watching what people are calling, man, he caught the Holy Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit was like Batman because, man, you would see people flying all over the place, busting their head on pews, and just all kind of things, laying stiff as a board. They put smelling salt on them and they wake up or whatever. So I was afraid. I was like, I don't know if I want to ever deal with the Holy Spirit if that's what I have to do. And it almost made me afraid to, like, in my 5-6-year-old mind, to grow up and be a Christian, because I was going to have to do that in order to get the Holy Spirit, in order for him to come up on me. And I was like, I don't think I want that, because I saw some stuff. I saw some people fly over pews. I saw some people... Well, I don't want to put anybody out, not making fun of anybody, but I heard some loud shrieks and all kinds of things, and it was always called, he caught the Holy Spirit. So as I got older, you know, being silly, a friend of mine, we would sit in the back, and when stuff would happen, man, we'd get up and we'd look, because we were trying to see, you know, once the organ started playing, and the preacher started getting everything riled up, and the people started swaying, and yes, and there was that call and response going back and forth, again, not casting any shade in any way. But man, we were waiting for somebody to catch the Holy Spirit because we wanted to see what they were going to do. So that's how we kind of grew up with our understanding of what the Holy Spirit was. You know, there was a lot of bam, pow, poof, like the original Batman, they'd have those little signs that would come up. But the real Holy Spirit is not like that. That's not what we now, since we've kind of understood better and we recognize that the Holy Spirit is not an it, it's not this thing. I remember one time I was saying something, and one of our members who is not with us anymore, Sister Patty, I was talking, and I said, well, yeah, it was something. And she said, no, you know who that is. And I said, Sister Patty, you're right. It's the Holy Spirit. And so he's a person. He's not a thing. He's not just an it. God said that he's a spirit. God is a spirit. And the Holy Spirit, that is who we deal with. So he's definitely someone. He's part of the Godhead, and we should respect it as such. So the problem, though, is that, as I said coming up, my understanding of the Holy Spirit was not very good, right? Many Christians get saved and know nothing about the works of the Holy Spirit, about the works of the one who is called to help us. Some of us have been in church 10, 20, 30, 50 years, and we still miss out on all of the power and the giftings that are available to us through the Holy Spirit. So if you still think this way about what I said the Holy Spirit was, because I've had people challenge me on the all over the place Holy Spirit, then if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But what I do challenge you to do is find it for me in the Bible. Don't be misled. That is not the Holy Spirit. So if you've grown up, in a message that I talked about a little while back, we talked about a Christian in name only. And one of the traits was believing things that you believing things that you saw or experienced when you were growing up. That was one of the things that I saw or experienced growing up. And there are many people, as I stated earlier, that still believe, even when you tell them and show them that these are the things of the Holy, that things and traits of the Holy Spirit, that no, that was the Holy Spirit. Well, why did this? You can't, again, go by your experiences all the time, things that you saw, things that you remembered when you're young. So we don't want to be misled, so we're going to go through this process so that we know. And if anybody is watching and wanting to know, now is your time. So, again, our bodies are the temple of God, and God lives in each Christian through the Holy Spirit. The night before Jesus died, he told the disciples some things that were very important and very wonderful and some incredible things. So one of the things we're going to see is how does the Holy Spirit help us? Because it was during that time, right before he was getting ready to be crucified, that he said some things to the disciples. So if we would first go to John chapter 14, verse 15 through 18. In this scripture here, we're going to see, because Jesus is praying here, basically the Trinity in this scripture. So I talked a little bit about that with the ice, but we'll see just a little bit of that in this scripture. If you have it, say amen. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get into it. It says, and if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter or helper, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth within you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless or helpless or as an orphan. I will come to you. So here we see Jesus talking about this thing, and we see again the Trinity. He said he would pray. This is Jesus praying here. He said he would pray to the Father, and basically he's telling them that he has to, that he will give them another, which is the Holy Spirit. It says comforter, but I'm going to, where it says comfort or comforter, I'm going to be using the term helper, because a comforter is and helper are basically the same thing. So we're talking about this. Yes, the Holy Spirit is a comforter. So God tells us through this text that the Holy Spirit is with us for 6 months, 10 years, 50 years. No, he tells us that the Holy Spirit is with us forever. So he's never leaving us. From the time that you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit resided within you. You had the power of God implanted, instilled on you at that moment. So you've never been without him. The question is, have we utilized and do we recognize what is on the inside of us? Remember, we talked about the rich man who had all this money but lived like a pauper. So we don't want to be like that. We want to take what God has given us and utilize those things, and not for money or selfish gain, but to be able to edify our local assemblies, to be stronger as Christians, to be able to endure the fiery darts of the adversary, all of these things that the Holy Spirit gives us, these are the things that we want from the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. Now, again, he tells us that, again, he won't leave us helpless. He says that he's going away and that he will send another. Now, I remember also when I got baptized, nobody told me anything about the Holy Spirit. I don't remember that in that process. All I remember was I was probably around 11, 12 years old. It looked pretty neat to be able to go up there, get in the water, and have somebody put you back, and you come up, man, and you know, and everybody's clapping for you, and you come out, and they even gave you some candy, and you know, you didn't get a talk about what it was. My parents told me a little bit about it, but the Holy Spirit was nowhere in that process. Even though, if I believed when I went down and came up, and if I accepted that, then the Holy Spirit was there. He's always been there, ever since we accept. However, I think it's not a good deal when we do not mention that. We talk about the salvation that we get through Jesus Christ in baptism, you know, that art when we go through and we do the baptism. However, we also have to recognize that the Holy Spirit is there to help us to live this thing out. So the question is, when we have the Holy Spirit, what part does the Holy Spirit play in our lives? What is his role in our lives? So we noticed in the scripture that Jesus called the Holy Spirit our helper. How many of you ever needed any help? I have. I know I've needed help. So we have living in us an infinite, powerful, awesome helper that is ready to and willing to give us advice, direction, as often as we need it, whenever we call on him. Why would we not utilize him? So we're going to talk about, we said, the works of the one who helps us. We've acknowledged that that's the Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead. So what is one of the, so we're going to talk about some of the works of the Holy Spirit, and we'll see those, and then we'll rehash it towards the end. So if we would, let's go to John chapter 16, verse 8. John chapter 16, verse 8. So the first thing is that, and we'll see as we read the scripture, is that he convicts us of sin. So in John chapter 16, verse 8, it says, "And when he has come, he will reprove," or he will convict, "the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." It says he convicts us of sin. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That word reprove basically means conviction. So even while we were in the world, even people that are sinning, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, especially when we accept him, whenever we do something wrong, whenever we deal with somebody in a way, it's not just your feelings that's convicting you. Whenever we have a thought that wasn't right, the closer we get to God, the more we read our word, the more we hear and take time with God, the clearer the Holy Spirit comes to us to convict us of those things. And it's strong. It's not something that we want, because there's certain things, you know, that you may say to a person or that you do to a person or that you do with a mind to scheme something, and the Holy Spirit comes in and just nudges you, because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not, like I said, like Batman, throw you all over him. He's a gentleman. He's going to calmly tell you that's not right. And so it's that type of conviction, even while we were, you know, doing whatever we were doing, that drew us to Christ, that pulled us out of the world. It's that conviction that drew us in. We could not get saved without the Holy Spirit because he convicted us, even while we were in the world. And that's why we pray for those that spitefully use us. That's why we pray for those people that are in the world or people that you just don't like. You're like, man, that person is despicable. We are still commissioned to pray for those persons. Why? Because somebody was probably praying for us. And even if they weren't, if you're in here now or if you're listening and you're a Christian, and if you're not, recognize, if you're not a Christian, that the Holy Spirit, when you do something and you're convicted, or when somebody comes and tells you that, man, that wasn't right, especially a Christian, and comes and tells you about the love of Jesus Christ, that's the Holy Spirit. As a Christian, again, as I said earlier, that person I know, I've prayed, and God has been good. The Holy Spirit has been good in dealing with me on these things, because there's some people that I just didn't like. There's some people right now I don't really feel all that great about. But I continue to pray, and I continue to, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me to overcome that, because there's always going to be this little thorn. There's always going to be somebody that says something to you. There's always going to, but the more you go through it, the more you become like a dead man. It don't matter. Hit me across the head. It doesn't matter because I'm dead to it. But while you're going through it sometimes, and sometimes it's just that person that want to shake the dead man and get him up, that's why we continue on, and that's why the Holy Spirit will see as we go through this, the things, the works that he performs in us, that's why we need him. But again, the Holy Spirit, he convicts us. That's one of the things that he does for us. The second thing that we see the Holy Spirit do is this. If you would go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, and we'll read this real quickly. It says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So the second thing that we see the Holy Spirit doing is he has sealed us. He has sealed us. For those that are notaries, you guys have seals. There's some meaning behind that. And when we speak of seals back then, and even now, we think of seals, we think of authenticity. You know, when you get something notarized, it's authorized, it's authentic, it's the real one, that real copy with the little bumpy on there when you rub it. That's the real, that's what a seal, it's sealed. We also speak of a seal, we speak of ownership. So no different than when you take your car to the DMV or you're selling a car and you have to get it notarized, they put a seal on it. It shows now that through those documents that you own that vehicle, or you have the title to it, or somebody has the title and you're paying it, but there's some ownership in that seal. The other part of a seal is protection. So all of these are things that we gain as a result of the Holy Spirit when we recognize that these are things that he has given. We are authentically now a part of the body of Christ because we have the Holy Spirit. We have ownership now because of the Holy Spirit. We own this salvation that we have gained. We're protected, because the Holy Spirit will keep us. You know, you're walking one way, and we'll see a little bit later, but he'll keep you from going that way where trouble is, keep you centered so that you don't go too far to the left or too far to the right, that you stay on that straight and narrow path. There's a saying, and I kind of struggle with this. I don't struggle with it anymore, but there was a saying, once saved, always saved. And I wonder, well, man, I don't want to lose my salvation because of things that the Bible says. But we talked about Judas and the fact that Judas was never saved. Because basically, really, once you're saved, once you're truly saved, you're not losing that, because we see here in the scripture, here in Ephesians, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. With the Holy Spirit, we are sealed. Our salvation is sealed. So if you're truly, truly saved, you may have your times, may have your ups and downs, but you're not getting off track. So if you do, and if you think somebody said, he was always in the Bible, and he did blah, blah. There's a strong possibility he never knew the Lord. But when we know the Lord, when we have a personal relationship with him, nothing is going to snatch us from his hand. We're not going to be saved and then just walk away. You hear people now talking about, I'm deconstructing my faith. I'm deconstructing my religion. You're deconstructing it. You ain't never had it in the first place. You can't deconstruct it. So if you're saved, because of the seal that the Holy Spirit puts on us, and we recognize this, we're not going anywhere. Where else, like the disciples said, where else are we going to go, Lord? Where else are we going to go? So the Holy Spirit, part of his works, part of the works of the one who helps us, the Holy Spirit helps us with, is he seals us. We're sealed. And so here's the deal. Once God has sealed something, who can unseal it? The devil can't unseal it. We can't unseal it. You know, either you are or you aren't. Now, it may look like it. There's a lot of looking. And we talked about the devil is a counterfeit. There's a lot of mimicking. Judas was right there doing all these things. He, you know, God gave him power to do all this stuff. But look what he did. And look what his fate was. So we recognize that it's through the works of the Holy Spirit that our salvation is sealed, that the blessings that we have, they are ours. The things that he has placed upon us through the Holy Spirit, that God resides in us, our salvation is sealed. He's our divine Savior, our divine Savior, Jesus Christ. When we accepted him in, the Holy Spirit sealed that. The next thing that we see as one of the works of the Holy Spirit, he dwells in us. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Okay, it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. He lives here. He doesn't come up on us. Once we're saved, the Holy Spirit is upon us. He's inside of us, I'm sorry. He's inside. He lives there. And that's why we want to take care of our bodies, because our bodies, again, as I said earlier, are the temples of God, are the temple of God. Now, the Holy Spirit living in us does not make us a God. We will never become a God. But we have his Spirit that Jesus sent to us, living, dwelling on the inside of us. If every morning that we got up, if we actually realize that we have that part of the Godhead on us, the Holy Spirit living in us, and the power that he has given us, the fact that he will guide us, that he's listening, he wants communion with us. If every morning we got up recognizing that we have that type of power, we would be much, much bolder as Christians, as believers. It would be nothing for us to, you know, the things that we want to seek out and do, the people that we want to go and meet and talk to, the positions that we want to have in our professional life, or positions that we want to have in whatever organizations that we're in that we may be fearful of doing. We would not have that fear, because we would recognize that nothing is going to overcome what God wants for us, because the Holy Spirit resides inside of us. Now, it doesn't tell us that we just go do any and everything because the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. That's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is that the things that the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, if we're listening and if we recognize that this is part of the will of God, that he wants us to go and take over whatever this is. Because if his people are doing it this way, the world sees it and souls get snatched out of the fire. So the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The fourth thing the Holy Spirit does is he teaches us. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. He teaches us. We see in John chapter 14, verse 26, if you would go there, it says, but the comforter, or the helper, which is the Holy, it's in the King James Version, it says the Holy Ghost. I'll just say, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, so God is sending the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So, once we have gotten saved, we received a teacher. So it's always interesting when we have people that tell us, you know, that, man, I read my Bible, but I don't really understand it. Are you asking the Holy Spirit for understanding? Are you asking him to teach you what it is that you're reading? Now, we must understand that this God that we serve, you may read a scripture once and it may not mean anything to you. You know, and it may be a popular scripture, and you just may not get it. You got to ask the teacher again. God has given us a Holy Spirit. Remember, he's there. Don't get discouraged. Don't feel like you're being weird by asking, Holy Spirit, I just don't understand it. You're going to have to help me. Just like you're sitting in class. Teacher says something, I don't understand that. Sometimes when you're in college or even, I guess, in high school, and you have a teacher that may have a different dialect or they may have when they talk, you don't really totally understand them. You may have to ask them again. Now, the Holy Spirit speaks clear. You may not hear him because of whatever is going on around you, distractions possibly, but he is going to parse out to you the things that you need to understand. The more immature you are, the more milk you're going to get. The more mature, the Bible talks about that, the more mature you get, the more you get closer to that Ruth Chris steak. You know, you're going to get more and more meat. You get more of those things that, you know, an adult would want to eat than Similac. You know, you're going to get the thicker things. So he's going to trust you more as that relationship is developed with certain parts of the word. So do not get discouraged when you read, because some things you're going to have to read them not once, not twice, not five, not 10. Maybe 15, maybe 20 times. It may be your whole life some things that you get. Our minds are not big enough to get everything in the Bible and to get it deeply. It's just not. Some things we just have to focus on and know that, okay, I'm not going to get this. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and we were talking about God, and he just got really, 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 really deep on me. You know, everything was, man, if you look at this, 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 and if you add 45 over here to the 75, because you know 7, that's the number of perfection, and then you go down to 3, divide that by 7, and come over here, you're going to see the end time is going to be on. I'm like, whoa, how we got way over here? I'm like, okay, man. I said, you know what? How about we just focus on hearing what the Holy Spirit says to us? So that we can be better persons, so when stuff happen, you know, somebody come and really get on your nerve, and this is what I talk, somebody really get on your nerve, you don't blow a gasket. Let's stay right there first, because I know I'm kind of like that guy sometimes, but let's focus on that before we start trying to predict the end of the world, which the Bible says, you know, it's coming like a thief in the night. So I don't know how you're going to predict that, but, you know, that's been tried before. But the Holy Spirit, part of what he does is he teaches us. And things that we don't understand, even if you're on your job, and it doesn't just have to be the Bible, scriptural things. You're on your job. I hear my wife all the time, she'll say, and she's been working at her place for a good while. She's seasoned, and not seasoned like she's old. She's a seasoned employee. That's what I'm trying to say. She's been there. You know, they respect her work, and she's always gotten high marks. And I always hear her saying, you know, she'll make it seem, well, I shouldn't say make it seem. She's telling me the truth. It's not like, you know, she'll say that, you know, this stuff here, I'm just not getting it, or, you know, the Holy Spirit helped me with this or whatever. So I guess she would be a highly prized employee and get high marks if she's allowing the Holy Spirit to operate in her, just like you, many of you guys that are here, and some of you all that are watching, I assume. But because of the Holy Spirit, he teaches us. He shows us those little things that, man, you were just doing certain things and it didn't come out the way necessarily you wanted it to because you didn't ask the Holy Spirit. But when we seek the Holy Spirit's help, he's gonna show us how to get things done. I remember, as a child, I don't remember how old I was when the sitcom Dallas came out. J.R. Ewing and whoever else, because I didn't watch it. Dallas, I think, came on at 9 o'clock, if I'm correct. The Dukes of Hazzard came on at 8. I was a Dukes of Hazzard fan, so I had to watch the Dukes of Hazzard, and I remember my uncle and my cousins would come over, and we'd turn the lights down, man, and we're sitting there in front of the TV. So I'd watch the Dukes of Hazzard, and soon as the Dukes of Hazzard went off, the little theme music, I would get up, and I'd go to the back, because I didn't like Dallas. It was like soap operas. It was like a soap opera to me, and I did not like soap operas, so I wasn't watching Dallas. So I would get up. So where I'm going with this is, recently they had what was called Brickfest. It was this Lego convention. And man, they had all these like big Lego statues that people had built, and they were really, really incredible. So when I was that age watching Dallas, I was still playing with my Legos. So I would get up, and I'd run to the back, and I'd get on the floor, and man, I would be there from 9 p.m. till sometimes like 3 in the morning. I remember my mom coming in the room like, boy, you okay? You don't want to go to bed? It's 1:30. I'm good, mama. And I'd be in there till 3 o'clock. So where I'm going with this is I was a Lego fanatic before Legos kind of took over. I was a Lego fanatic. And I would sit there and I would play. And there were certain things that I just did not, couldn't figure out how to make it because I would make my own little toys. And unfortunately, my older brothers who were bigger than me would come sometimes and kick them and break them and I'd throw a tantrum, you know. But I would get there and I'd be building whatever little toy. And sometimes there was a piece that I couldn't find or I didn't know how to totally build it because I didn't have instructions. There were no instructions with Legos at that time. I don't know if there still are now. I hadn't played with any, honestly. I hadn't played with any lately. But when I played with them, I would remember being down there on the floor playing with my Legos by myself in my room and, not in my room because I had my brother in there, but he would be elsewhere. And I remember stopping and asking the Lord, help me to get to do this. And every time, I would not sit here before the Lord and tell you that every time, either he would show me a way of how to do it. And to this day, when I'm fooling around, I'm not a master carpenter or anything. I don't do real good with certain things. But certain things that I need help with, Lord, you're going to have to show me how to do this. Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me. I wasn't saying the Holy Spirit back then, but I sure was asking the Lord. So I guess I was practicing for where we are now. But there are certain things that I can get around and do with my hands. And usually, pretty much, if I take my time and try to get as much information as I can and I ask the Holy Spirit, it usually comes out pretty good, no different than then. Or if I lost something back then, I was looking for a certain piece, Lord, you're going to have to help me find this. And I would always find it. So the Holy Spirit, one of the things that he helps us with, the works of the Holy Spirit, he indwells in us and he teaches us. He shows us different things. Let's move on to the next one. The fifth work of the Holy Spirit is that he reveals truth to us. He reveals truth to us. 1 Corinthians, let's go to 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 12. So for the sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So he's saying here that we didn't receive the spirit that's out in the world. We received the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus promised to us, right, when he was going to the cross. We received that spirit. And so he says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. One, freely given to us was the Holy Spirit. And he reveals truth to us. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that spirit of truth that we receive as a result of receiving the Holy Spirit. See, oftentimes, when people are reading, they do not understand because or they do not get the truth, or they get off like I was telling you about the guy with the numbers and everything, because they don't ask the Holy Spirit to help them. They lean on their own understanding and say, well, I'm going to get this. Or they go into it totally with the wrong mindset. Sometimes, you know, we'll have our little reading plans, but then sometimes we just kind of go into it. Even to gain understanding of the Word of God, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to understand that. And if you have that, those are works that the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of us. If you have some things that you don't like in your life, because, again, the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals truth to us, ask yourself the question why. Because he's going to reveal the truth to you, right? So there's certain things that we want, but we have to ask ourselves sometimes if we don't have it, what's going on? You know, why don't I have people loving on me like I want them to? You know, they might not like me or whatever. They just don't want to deal with me. And this is everybody. Why is it difficult on my job? Why am I just struggling? What's going on? Some of y'all might say it's that person or it's this or it's that. But you have to ask yourself why. Why don't I feel God's presence when I pray or when I read the word? Why do I never get ahead of my bills? Why does everything in my life seem like a crisis? It could be. It could be. You have to ask yourself, and you have to be very, very honest with yourself. It could be because we are ignoring the helper. And if you're ignoring the helper, if we're ignoring the one that is supposed to be revealing the truth to us, then it's no coincidence why some of these problems we are having. We cannot ignore the Holy Spirit. We can't just do it our way. We have to do it his way. That's why Jesus left, sent us the Holy Spirit, so that we can move forward in accordance with what God wants us to do and not what we want to do. Can't lean to our own understanding, amen? So, the sixth work of the Holy Spirit is this. It says he is willing to guide you in every area of your life. We have to know that nothing is too big or nothing is too small for him. So the sixth work of the Holy Spirit is to guide us. So we'll see here in John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He guides us. Part of what he does is he will guide us, just as it says right here. The Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. It's his job to guide and direct you in the paths that you're trying to go down. You know, we get into trouble because we try to guide ourselves. Because, oh man, this looks good over here. That's small. One thing that I've started learning is that everything that glitters is not gold. All the time I have people come and say, man, you should do this. This is just so. You're going to blow up. It's just going to explode. You're going to boom. Everything's going to just be great. And then you find yourself banging your head because you went try to do something that either you weren't equipped to do, you didn't ask the Holy Spirit to do it. And so now when folk come to me with that kind of stuff, I take a step back. Gotcha. Appreciate it. Appreciate you, bruh, as they say. No, I'm going to do my little research, yes, and that's fine. We should do research. But I'm going to go to the source. I'm going to go to the Holy Spirit and ask him, because I've been burned too many times. You know, you get burned, you know, you take your car to the shade tree mechanic. You go to the cheap restaurant. You get what you pay for. So I'm learning. You know, sometimes it's better. I had this dollar set aside for this. Do you need to get this done? Man, you better go home and give them that dollar and do something else to try to get another one. Because you're going to lose it fooling with the jack of all trades over here. Go ahead, do the right thing. If you're going to do any, if I'm going to work something or somebody comes to me with something, I'm going to invest in something, I'm going to research it out first before I go run into it. I'm going to ask God for it. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit. And whenever I talk to my wife about certain things, the first thing she asks me, you prayed about this? You asked the Holy Spirit? And I'm like, not yet. I'm going. But it's true. You got to start because it's his job. It's his job to guide us. And as he guides us and we listen, we stop making those little ignorant mistakes that cost us time and money and everything else. And as they say, time is money. So you just wasted some time, you just wasted some money, and you just frustrated yourself because it ain't done right anyway. Or down the road, you're stuck on the side of the road because you used the jackleg to do whatever work. So I'm learning. Let him guide me. Go to him. Remember Cain. Remember Cain? Cain killed Abel. Cain and Abel. What Cain did, the principle is still the same in us going to God. See, when the Holy Spirit is guiding us, we have to go to him first. Don't come to him second. Don't go out there, do your research, and then go put your money down or put whatever in and whatever it is you're doing. Then you back him. Holy Spirit, help me out. Too late now. Don't remember Cain. Cain was rejected because he put God second. See, what Abel gave, it was acceptable. But what Cain gave wasn't. It wasn't so much that one gave flocks and one gave produce. He had to be holding back his stuff, and he would come second. The stuff was secondary that he was giving to God. Don't come to the Holy Spirit secondary. You got to come to him first. And if you do that, and he can guide you. He can't guide you after the fact. It's too late. You guided yourself. The next thing that the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit produces fruit in us. And let's see. I'm going to go through Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25. I'm going to read that. But as I read it, I want you to be thinking and see if any of you all need any of these fruit. So let's read. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Anybody need any of that? Long-suffering. I know I need it. Gentleness. I know I need some of that too. Goodness. Yeah, probably that too. Faith. Meekness. Mm-hmm. Definitely temperance. Self-control. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is life-changing stuff. See, this is life-changing stuff. This changes our life. As we ask the Holy Spirit to work these nine fruit in our lives, it's life-changing. See, when you have temperance, when you have self-control, you know, the Bible talks about a man that is better than a fortified city if he has self-control. All of these things the Holy Spirit will give to you, but you have to ask him. It's never going to come when you do something like I've done in the past, something crazy and weird, and then you come back like, oh, Lord, I repent. Okay, that's great. How are you going to overcome? You're going to overcome because of these fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, because now we recognize, which is why we're going through this, we have to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I need your help. I need this. Help me to overcome. I need these fruit. I need this peace, this long-suffering. I need all of it, love, so on and so forth. And I find myself now asking the Holy Spirit to help me to love people, because sometimes I don't want to love people. Just being honest. Sometimes I don't want to do that. Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me to love this person. Somebody that's totally ideologically 100% away from what I believe. I don't want to love them. I'm like, not Noah, but Jonah, when he went to Nineveh. He didn't want to love them people. We got to pray. We got to ask the Holy Spirit to help us with all of these, with all nine of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We need all of those because once we gain those things, then we can become life-changing. Then we become a different person. Then when people see us, they're like, man, that didn't get at him anymore because the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us, he's yearning for us to come to him and ask him to do these things for us. And as we ask, and as we come to him first and ask him for these things, it's life-changing. People want to be around us. People want to talk to you. People want your advice. People want all sort that self-control where you used to blah, 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 tongue just going off. Now you don't do that because you have some temperance and you're understanding. I don't need to say that right now. Let me just sit here because the Bible says that even a fool will be thought wise if he don't say nothing. Just sit here and be quiet. Let them people talk. Do that for several meetings that you're in if you were doing that. Probably nobody in here. Hopefully nobody watching. It's the mother people. Don't say nothing in the meeting. Just look. Do that 5 or 6 times. People are going to start wanting to hear what you. You don't have nothing to say? No, sir. Good. People are going to be intrigued. They're going to want to know because he's quiet. Like E.F. Hutton, the old commercial, if you remember that. I'm old. You know, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. You know, people are going to want to hear what you have to say. So we recognize that one of the works of the one who helps us, the Holy Spirit, we need those traits in our lives. The next thing the Holy Spirit does for us, one of the works that he performs for us, he reminds us. John 14, chapter 26, if you go there real quick, it says, but the Comforter, the Helper, which is the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. We read this before, but we're focusing on that second part. Bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So let's consider Jesus' disciples when they were with him, okay? They were with him 3.5 years. They saw him do all these things. More likely than not, when he was doing it, they didn't have a notepad or an iPad. They didn't have an iPhone. They probably had papyrus at that time. But, you know, even then, scrolls and everything were very difficult to get a hold of, and you didn't just walk around with a scroll. Oh, now Jesus healed the blind. They didn't do it that way. They saw things. It was in their mind. They saw it. So we always talk about the word being, the Bible being the inspired word of God. So we see here, as I talk about his disciples, the things that they didn't have, how much could they remember in their minds? I remember some things, but some faces, if I don't say your name or if I don't see you after a while, I don't know who you are. I don't. I saw a young lady that I went to school with yesterday, and we had a wonderful conversation, but when I first saw her, I didn't know who she was. I'm like, huh? And she started saying things and saying things and saying things, and I was like, oh, yeah. And so we talked, had a great conversation, but I didn't remember. So could you imagine all of the things that Jesus did and said and was all these things? These guys had to remember it for it to be given to us. So this is why the Holy Spirit, he brought things back to these guys' remembrance. When Jesus died, he told them, back in Acts chapter 1, 4-5, it says, and being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with what? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, for not many days to come. So the disciples' writings were inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus told them to go and wait, and when the Holy Spirit comes, he's got something for you. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so all of these things now, they were brought back to his remembrance. You know, Jesus would talk to them about things, and he knew that he was sending the Holy Spirit to help inspire these guys, to help them to remember many of the things that they had done that was going on. They did a lot of stuff in those 3 years. Jesus was not just sitting around. He did a lot. So the Holy Spirit reminds us. So it's many times, I'm sure all of you, especially if you're saved, All of you have had things going on and you just stop and like, oh, that's the Holy Spirit, guys. That's what he does. He reminds us. I've had many things, many very important things that I just, you know, I put it in my planner, had it in my phone, had the alarm, blah, 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 and still forget it. And bam, he lets me know. That's the Holy Spirit. That's part of what he does for us. There's just many incidents like that go on. But again, this is what the Holy Spirit does for us. This is why we need him. This is why we need to know the works that he performs for us. The Holy Spirit, the next one, the Holy Spirit equips us with spiritual gifts. So there are seven major gifts that the Holy Spirit, that he shows us. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. These are all spiritual gifts. Now, some may say, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. I don't know what my... Again, the Holy Spirit comes to teach us. Ask him. He'll help you to find it, whatever your spiritual gift is. And there are some sub-gifts under those gifts. So don't feel like, oh, I know I don't do this. I know. Just ask him, Holy Spirit, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. But I know you know, because you're all-knowing. And you know me, and you reside on the inside of me. And just ask him, and he will show you those things that he has set aside for you to do. So as we do those things and recognize that he has equipped us with all of those things, the body, he has equipped. You fall somewhere in there. But if you don't ask, you never know. It's like, you know, you won some jackpot. You didn't play the lottery. You didn't put a ticket in, but you just won some jackpot. You're at work, and they just had a big jackpot. We got the $1 million jackpot at work today, and somebody's going to win. You don't even have to play the lottery to get in, because we're not playing the lottery, right? So you just get out there, and they give you the $1 million. And they tell you, okay, go over to that window back there and just tell them to give you the million. And you never go for whatever reason. Well, guess what? You never get the million. Same thing with these gifts of the Spirit. Now, sometimes they're just evident. But if you don't know, you definitely have to ask the Holy Spirit, and he will show you what those giftings are, okay? So the next thing that the Holy Spirit does is he empowers us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers us. Some people get so tied up, I don't know what to say when I evangelize and when I'm talking to people, and I don't want to be ashamed. Ask the Holy Spirit. He empowers you. Not just to evangelize or to talk to other people, but when you get tired. Sometimes, you know, yes, we should, you know, get 8 hours of sleep at night and eat 3 meals or however many meals. Some people say six little ones and 3 big ones or 2 or whatever it is. But sometimes you don't have time to do that. There are many times I just go and I don't even eat. I just don't think about it. I just got too busy. I ain't got time to eat. Father, and sometimes I want to stop, man. I want to get those grilled nuggets at Chick-fil-A. They're good. But I don't have time. Father, I'm going to have to pat. Holy Spirit, you're just going to have to empower me. Help me to get through this one. Because I'm hungry. I want to eat. But I got to go. I got to keep moving. That's part of what he does. Works of the one who helps us. He'll help you to make it through. Now, you really got to want to do it. You can't let the stomach overrule what you're trying to do spiritually. You got to keep moving. But he'll empower you. That boss that you don't like, can't stand him. Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me. I remember, and I had one. What I did recognize was that kicking against leadership, God is a God of order. I know you don't like him, but you have to deal with this person. And you got to ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to empower you to overcome this. So all of these are things, again, that the Holy Spirit does. So now, we've talked about all of this, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to read this, John 14, 16 through 18, and then we're going to get ready to close. But in John 14, 16 and 18, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter or helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not." So the world can't receive him because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. "But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless or helpless. I will come to you." This is the Holy Spirit that we serve. And the 10 things that we talked about, I'll go back over them very quickly, but all of these are things that, the Holy Spirit has given and has given us. He lives on the inside of us. And all of these are things that we can have. Don't be like the rich man or like a rich man that has all of these resources and never touches them and lives like a pauper. Sometimes we do that. We all miss it sometimes. We get busy and we forget, but we got to build that into our routine that we don't forget to seek the Holy Spirit first. So the things that the Holy Spirit helps us with and the works that he does, he convicts us of our sin, saved or not. If you're not saved and you're being convicted, that's the Holy Spirit working in on you. He's drawing you. He's calling you in to the beloved. He seals our salvation. Remember, our salvation is authentic. We can't lose it if we're actually saved. So if you think you're saved, you need to step back and make certain that you are and get that right between you and God and ask the Holy Spirit to let you know, because he says he's a teacher. He indwells us. He lives on the inside of the Holy Spirit does. He teaches us. The fifth thing, he reveals truth to us. He guides us, the sixth thing. The seventh thing, he produces fruit in us. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit reminds us, that's the eighth thing. The ninth thing, he equips us with spiritual gifts. He gives us those spiritual gifts, and so we just have to ask for them. And the last thing, he empowers us. So we want to make certain, again, that we are strengthened, that we recognize the power that God has given us through the Holy Spirit, this amazing Holy Spirit that resides on us, that before Jesus left this earth, that he gave to us for our benefit, for us to strengthen the body of Christ, for us to strengthen our families, to strengthen ourselves, so that we're not calling the Holy Spirit it, but it's he. He's a gentleman. You can hear him in your time, and the more you deal with him, the more hearing him becomes clear to you. But you have to take that time to do it. You have to ask him. You have to seek him. We have to. I have to. We all have to. Because it is through him that he deals with it. That's why Jesus left, so he can be within all of us. Amen? Amen. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and pray. And we're going to get moving. And from here on, guys, and this was good for me. It was probably more beneficial for me than you all. You guys may have, got all of this. But as I was going through it, it helped me to understand that the Holy Spirit, he God loves us. That's why he left him and allows him to indwell in his people. We just have to make sure that we take advantage of it. And as we do that, we're going to see things change in our lives as we ask for some of those intangible things that only that God can give us only through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for this time, Lord. You are a good God. I pray, Heavenly Father, that each of us are strengthened, Lord, not just to increase ourselves, Lord, but so that others that either don't know you or those that do know you may be strengthened and we may be able to share to them what the works of the Holy Spirit is that your Son, Jesus Christ, sent to be on the inside of us. We thank you, dear God. You are all-knowing, you are magnificent, and you alone, God, are all-powerful. You have our best at hand. You have prepared everything for us. Help us to take hold of it. Lord, we thank you. We ask for traveling mercies on our way back to our destinations. Father, we ask that you watch over us throughout this week and that we will be bold for you in every way, that we will be wise, and that we will recognize again that we are your children and we cannot be snatched out of your hand. Father, we thank you and we praise you even now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.